Hi, this is Sean Kirker. We're here with Eric Burton, and we're doing some military stories with Voices Live On. And this one is a big one. This one is how Eric was involved in the unit that captured Manuel Noriega, the Panamanian dictator and also drug lord of South America. So we're going to have Eric give us a verbatim of kind of what led up to it and how they ended up capturing Manuel Noriega, what was said back and forth, and then also where they ended up taking him after that. So, Eric, if you'd like to kind of describe from the beginning, where were you before you even got the assignment?
Near Eglin Air Base in the panhandle of Florida.
Okay. So describe what was going on there.
We were doing training in the Everglades.
And how long were you doing that training in the Everglades?
For about a month.
About a month. So after the training in the Everglades, you guys got the call. How many people, well, just describe how you got the call and your thoughts when you got the call.
The commander came in and said, "Soldiers, we have a mission. We're going to Pensacola and we're boarding the USS Kitty Hawk, and we're going to Nicaragua and we're hunting Manuel Noriega."
So what went through your mind when he told you that?
Thank God we're going to get an evil person. And we're going to save people's lives and free them from slavery and free them from the drugs and weapons and evil.
So how many people went with you when you guys left to start the mission?
Six.
And what were your different roles in the unit?
Actually, we were all Green Berets. Field Medic, Sharma Yellow Eyes, Green Beret, David Blankenship, Sergeant. He was our civil engineer with explosives training. And there would have been Nolan Crawford, our gunner.
So describe going over there and like what happened.
We got on the USS Kitty Hawk. They put Sharma and I in a special captain's quarters. And then we got to dine with the captain on board the USS Kitty Hawk. And the Kitty Hawk is not just an average thing. It's like a full-blown city with fun things to do and great food. And we got to meet a lot of the Navy people and Coast Guards and a SEAL team.
So what was the conversation with you and all those other people when you told them you guys were going after Manuel Noriega?
Actually, the captain knew the mission, but we were told not to discuss it with the regular shipmates. But with the SEAL team people, we did speak because they were on the same mission. Coast Guards have a special branch that were there to round up any stragglers that escaped by water.
So what was the plan as far as where you were going to go and how it was going to go down?
We were actually taking a chopper from the USS Kitty Hawk into Nicaragua to capture him in a facility. We flew in from the Kitty Hawk, got over land, and then the beep beep sound began, and I realized that I thought the pilots were messing with us. They were swearing, so they weren't messing with us. Our rear rotor had cut out, so we crashed. But the helicopter didn't blow up, just got knocked out for a bit. Came to, checked the team out, they were okay. So I told them to round up their equipment and go set up for a camp. And I checked the pilots and they were pretty seriously injured. So I radioed back, need med evac immediately. Got two wounded people here. Our chopper went down. So they came and got him. Then we went and set up the tent, the camping area, and we went hunting for Noriega. Turns out he wasn't there. He had fled to Panama.
So he got word that you were coming, and he got out. So how many guys were with your unit? You said there was six on the chopper?
Yep, not to include the pilots. With the pilots, there were eight.
Okay, so your unit was all right, but the pilots were injured.
Yes.
So did they come and pick them up and leave you guys there?
Yes, that's standard operating procedures.
Okay. So when they left you there, how long were they there before you realized that Noriega was gone?
3 days.
3 days.
We went to the encampment, took us a day. We got there, we did our checking it out, observing it. No Noriega. So finally we went in, captured some of the people, and actually asked them where Noriega was. Couldn't get the truth out of them. Until there was one female that was a victim, and she actually told us he had fled to Panama. So we radioed back when we got back to our camp. Dustoff came, picked us up, went back to Kitty Hawk, started steaming out towards Panama.
How did you know where in Panama to go?
We knew he was somewhere near one of the cities. That was what the intel said.
Okay.
And we basically played it by weapons fire from the ground. What we did was, from the side of our chopper, we blared AC/DC music. And it made the women and children cry and run and hide. And it got the bad people to shoot at us. So we knew who the bad people were.
Okay.
And then eventually we got there, we found out which building he was in.
Did you have people on his side of the fence, metaphorically, that told you he's in that building, that room?
No, we had specialized equipment. We picked him up via satellite.
Okay.
We have a lot of technology that people don't know, but it works well. And it's always great in those situations.
Okay, so you located him in a building, and then what?
We flew up, landed, firing, getting fired upon. I went into the building, team surrounding it, and I went in, and lo and behold, he's sitting there with weapons, drugs, money, and he takes a look at me and he says, "You don't have extradition rights here." Said, "I don't need him. You're an enemy combatant, sir. You committed war crimes against humanity." So I cuffed him and we took him back to the chopper.
Who was with you in the room?
Actually, just me and Noriega.
So, did he not try to shoot you? Did he not try to...
There wasn't a chance. Because he seen my baram I had. So he knew there was no hope.
But he didn't put up a fight when you're trying to cuff him.
He struggled a bit.
Yeah.
But that's what a good cold cop from the back of my... from my 9mm did to the back of his neck.
So you've got him cuffed and you're bringing Noriega out of the building.
Yes, and it was wonderful. The team seen it. They did the signal for the chopper to get fired up, and it was. So we got him on board. Sat him in the middle so he couldn't even jump out. Got back to the Kitty Hawk, and we escorted him to the brig. There, the Navy's are actually our security police and military police actually put him in the cell in the brig, left him cuffed. Told him we were taking him back to Fort Meade, outside of D.C.
So you rode with him all the way back to D.C.?
Yes.
Was anybody talking to him?
No. Nobody talked to him. Matter of fact, they wanted to understand the isolation. And normally we would got orders to kill somebody like that immediately. But they wanted to make an example of this one, to show him that there was no running or hiding, and that war crimes are still punished. So they processed him through D.C. and they sent him to The Hague for war crimes, where he ended up dying.
How long was he incarcerated before he passed.
Probably a good, I think it was a few years ago he died, so I'm going to say probably about a little bit over, probably around 20 years.
That's pretty amazing. So after this situation goes down, after your job is done, he's safe, he's in D.C., you get a walk away from the building, what's going through your head?
We won. And thank God we did, because he was evil. And we saved a bunch of lives and protected a bunch of people. What we signed up to do. We didn't sign up to kill, we signed up to save people's lives, protect them, and take out evil. So we got our job done.
So how did the briefing go? I guess it wouldn't be called the briefing, but when you met with your superiors to rehash the whole scenario, what did they tell you, and how did that go down?
They said, team job well done. Be prepared for wheels up, because we're getting one.
So you're getting another order. So where did you go from there?
Operation Ranger.
And what country
Somalia.
Was
in Somalia? Africa.
Okay.
And it was with SEAL Team 6. So we went to Virginia Beach.
All right, but before we get into that one, I have another final question. So did you receive any awards or any accolades specifically for Noriega?
No.
Why is that?
Because we were ghost ops.
What does that mean?
Crazy 8 Green Berets, we didn't exist. So we were pretty much non-sanctioned in a sanctioned operation.
So essentially the guys they send in when they have the worst situation possible.
Always first in, last out. One team, one mission, hoorah.
It's kind of sad that you weren't able to actually have some type of plaque, but I 100% understand why they would be like that, and why it is like that in general. Looking back on that whole experience, how does that, did you realize how monumental it was at that time?
Yes, every mission was monumental. There was no difference, because our job was to capture evil, and if necessary, to terminate evil.
And when you had Nori in the plane, originally when we talked, you mentioned something about the music.
Oh, we played AC/DC, and then when we were coming into the Panama area where we had him, I requested Ted Nugent's Stranglehold, Baby. And they said, well, why is that, sir? And I said, because we got him in the Stranglehold.
That's phenomenal. And you know what, Eric, this, I'm really excited we were able to do your Voices Live On interview today. We're going to do some more stories, but I think it's going to be a long time, possibly, before I get a story that tops this one, according to affecting America's military history and so well known globally. So 1,000,000% appreciate you for your service and what you've done, and the fact that you brought him out yourself. It's unbelievable. Thank you and congratulations.
You're welcome, sir, and thank you.
We're going to close this one out.